Father in heaven, beautiful and precious are the children you have given us. And yet they are as nothing compared to the child that you have given us, your Son, our Savior. It is his birth, his gift, that we commemorate this evening as we prepare our hearts to celebrate his birth. Grant, O Lord, that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Rise. I invite you to turn, if you would, to page 22 in the fore part of the supplement as we begin our Christmas Eve celebration, our commemoration of the birth of our Savior, with the service of the Word. As is indeed fitting, we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We need to be reminded why Jesus came, why this joyous occasion for us was necessary, and it was because of our sin. He came to pay our sin debt. Let us then confess our sins together to Him on this occasion. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are sinful by nature and have sinned against You in our thoughts, words, and actions. But we are sorry for our transgressions and pray You of Your bountiful mercy to be gracious and merciful unto us. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. Renew us by Your Spirit and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness, therefore, and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our scripture reading for this Christmas Eve, it's found printed in the service bulletin, found in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here ends our scripture reading. Please rise. We respond by confessing the Christian faith that resides in our hearts, expressed this evening in the words of the Christmas Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, who created me and who sent His Son to be my Savior. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, my Lord, the long-promised Messiah, who came as foretold, being conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by the angels, worshipped by the shepherds, adored by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again, to free me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in my Savior, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I rejoice in my salvation, walk in Christ, show forth his praises, and will one day live and reign with him in all eternity. Amen.
Days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, and because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register there along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child.
And when the days were completed for her to give birth, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
In the same region, there were some shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night.
And the angel had showed them before them, and they were terrified.
They were very frightened, woke till night.
But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
This is going to be fun for you. Find a baby, wrap it in cloths, lie in the manger."
And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased."
When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another,
"Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us."
So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger.
When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told about this child.
And all who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them.
Lord Jesus, lay down his sweet head.
Dear fellow Christians, redeemed sinners, who consider it their greatest privilege to bear the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As members of the congregation that arranged this Christmas Eve service asked me to speak to you also. And for some reason, they seem to continually emphasize the word brief. I will attempt to honor that request. The point this evening is that the ramifications of what we celebrate on this evening are indeed profound. If you stop to think about them, they are mind-boggling. In fact, who can fully comprehend even the concept of, yet alone the full import of, God made man, Creator becoming one of his own creation? And yet the message that we celebrate, the thing that gives us joy, is not complicated, is it? It's simple. In fact, our children can tell us the story as they have this evening, in simple words. That's why children are supposed to be our goal in the sense of their faith. Jesus said, he who will not enter the kingdom of his little child will not enter therein, meaning he who does not believe as a little child believes things, simply because it's told to them. No one will enter any other way. So we seek to emulate that simplicity. That's why this evening we didn't have as a goal complexity. We didn't have as a goal a program or a presentation or a pageant. We just want to hear that simple message from the simple faith of their hearts. What it is that gives them and us, every Christian, joy at this occasion. Everyone that's been around children, you know their simple nature. They're complex creatures like all human beings, but for the most part, they're very simple creatures. And they ask, for example, simple questions. If you've been around them for any time, you know one of their favorite questions is why? 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 Why is the grass green? Why is the sky blue? Why is the square the hypotenuse? Some of the squares of the two sides adjacent to that. Okay, my children were different. Not this, but their questions are so simple, and yet not so simple when you try to answer them. I used to love those questions. I love them, no matter what my kids tell you. I used to love them because they force me to think about things and to explain them in a simple way. Things that, you know, if you're a parent, you try to explain why the grass is green, really, and you get into chlorophyll and the sun and all that other stuff, you lose them. So this evening, we seek to simply answer that question, why? Why did Jesus come to earth? The text is found in your service bulletin from that amazing third chapter of John, verses 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. This is God's word. I really did love the why questions. Not so much now, but I love them when my kids are little. Now they've ruined it because they know when I'm just messing with them or when I'm just making stuff up. But then I loved him again because not only gives you a chance to talk with the little ones and hopefully teach them something, but it forces adults to go back into that simplicity and try in a simple way to explain things that can be made overly complex. So this evening, the why question again is, why did Jesus come? And we find such simple, clear answers in God's Word, especially in our text for this evening. The first explanation given to us in our text, pretty straightforward. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It's straightforward until we start to think about what love actually is. And then we simply need to explain that. Because the world's idea is different from the word used here, isn't it? This is actually the same word that God used when he said, "Husbands, love your wives." It's the same word that God used when he said, "Christians, love your enemies." It has nothing to do with affection. He didn't say, "Like your enemies." He didn't even tell us to like our spouses. It has nothing to do with needs of the one who's supposed to love, as though he's calling on us to have some emotion or to recognize some need that we have and need to be filled. This love is all outward directed. It doesn't have anything to do with what's in here. It's the kind disposition towards somebody outside of ourselves. If you think of it in terms of a direction arrow, the world talks about love with the direction arrow always pointed in. How do I feel? How does that person make me feel? What are my needs? Is that person fulfilling my needs? This kind of love, the direction arrow is always outward. It always depends on someone else. What does that person need? And how can I supply what that person needs? That's why it's so silly, for example, to hear people say, "Well, we're not together anymore because I don't love him or I don't love her." As if you don't have that power. As if that's something that has to be somehow given to you instead of "you do." It's an action word directed outward. Now hear that again, and it becomes all the more simple. God so loved the world. He didn't feel obligated. There wasn't anything in us, in the people that he looked at, that compelled him. He didn't have to. There wasn't any upside in it. Jesus, in him, God's word tells us, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. While he was in heaven, he did not lack anything. How could he be in a perfect heaven and lack? So there was nothing in it for him. The love that he demonstrated was simply looking at our needs and saying, "I'm going to fulfill what they need. I'm going to supply what they need. There's nothing in it for me. Again, there's no upside or benefit to me. I don't feel obligated. They don't deserve it, but they need it. And I'm going to do it for them. Because there is no other way. There is no other way. Why would God do this to his Son, this God who is love, if there was another way? If man could earn it? God looked and saw we needed, and the only way that could that sin debt could be supplied is if he did it. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The text didn't stop there. Sometimes you can understand something better, more fully, by understanding what it's not. So our text also included that, if you heard it. Didn't just say God so loved the world, but it went on. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. It fills in, doesn't it? It's helpful. That was an option to God, wasn't it? God in his wisdom could have foreseen that on Judgment Day, man could object. saying, what you demanded of us, God, was impossible. You demanded perfect obedience. But no one could supply that. God could have sent his son, who did keep that law perfectly, and then on judgment day simply said, he did, and silenced every mouth. But our text says that's not why he did it. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world, through him, might be saved. This is the simple message that we seek to celebrate. This is what we look at and see when we look at that little baby in the manger. God himself in human form, who came simply because we needed him to come and do for us what we could not and would not do for ourselves. Let this truth, this simple message, be the joy of your heart at Christmas, every moment of your lives. Amen. Please rise. We respond with the two verses as printed in our service bulletin. Please rise. Dearest Jesus, hear our humble prayer on this Christmas Eve as we gather with joyful hearts to celebrate the wonders of your holy birth. We confess that all the words that we speak and sing to your glory this night at any time fall far short of the praise we sinners owe you, our God, you who left the throne in heaven to appear here in lowliness as our Savior. A stable was your first home, a manger your first bed. Yet for our sakes you endured far deeper humiliation than this. For you came to bear the cross, the shame, the suffering, and the death that we sinners deserve for our sins. We thank you for coming here and sharing our human nature. For you did this out of love for us, selfless love, that we might share your glory and immortality in heaven. We thank you then for your love, which made you willing to sacrifice yourself on Calvary's cross for us. We thank you for the joy of being rescued, saved, and for the privilege of living our lives to you. We also thank you that from the mouths of our children this evening, we have heard again that precious, simple story of your birth, and rejoice again in the heavenly peace announced by the angels. Bless also, we pray, our children, that they may remain faithful to you throughout their lives, ever adoring you as their Lord, their King, ever trusting you as their Savior, and ever serving you as their loving Master. Keep each of us here this evening in that faith. Direct our footsteps from day to day with the light of your love, that light that John spoke of. Your love, your truth that shines tonight so brightly in our hearts. In your mercy, shine that gospel of salvation to every nation and people. Use us as your instruments of love. Convert the hearts of sinners everywhere that they may rejoice with us at your birth and find true comfort in the sacrifice you made for sinners on the cross. Hear us, dear Jesus. For, Heavenly Father, you did not withhold your own Son. How will you withhold any good thing from us now? Be with us day by day. Preserve us in this faith and hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May be seated.